Regular listeners will know that Matthew has to sum up the film in however long the minute... Fucking every time. Regular listeners to the podcast will know that Matthew has to sum up the synopsis of the story in however many seconds it takes. Fuck, why can I not do this?
Am I in trouble? You're calling me Matthew.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's all right, Sol.
Why can't I fucking talk about synopsis? What a twat. Anyway, at this point in the podcast, regular listeners will know that however long the film is in minutes...
Sorry. Sorry. I started pouring.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10. Can you believe that? Episode 10 already of Darren and Matt's 80s adventure.
Yeah, that's amazing, right?
That's awesome. That's awesome. We've survived this long on this amount of alcohol.
Well, we'd like to welcome you. My name is Matt.
And I am Darren. And if you don't already know by now, if you've just joined us in this journey through 80s movies, we are having a journey through 80s movies whilst... having a few drinks and more than a few laughs.
Well, speaking of a few drinks, Darren.
Yes.
Well, I thought, you know, it's our 10th episode, so yeah. I think that we should celebrate.
Okay. Now this is what you
So I got us a couple of glasses here.
Yeah. Oh my God. Matt came in with a bag of something, but he won't tell me what was in the bag. He's now taken out two flutes.
Yep.
And a bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah. We're celebrating. It's our 10th episode.
Is this going to happen every 10 episodes?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, sweet. Ooh. Nice.
There we are. Risky doing that by the equipment, but
yeah,
it's your equipment, so.
Thanks, mate.
So there we are. That's so here's pouring, to yeah. episode 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheersy.
Cheersy. We're doing this a bit early in the episode. Thank you very much. Well, that just caught right in the back of my throat.
So we have an exciting episode for you tonight. We are looking at Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice!
Beetlejuice!
Don't say it again.
Oh no, he's appeared. Yeah, so Beetlejuice. How about we kind of rewind back to the 80s, then we'll have a little talk about it.
Oh, I like this bit. I like this bit. Yeah, let's rewind to 1988.
So we found some wonderful facts this week. Well, I found some wonderful facts. And let's see what you think of these, Darren. In 1988, an Aboriginal man planted a flag on the cliffs of Dover and claimed England for the Aborigines.
Ah, really?
Yes, yeah, he did it. His name was Burnham, and he did it as like a little tongue-in-cheek way of claiming England as Arthur Phillip had done to his homeland in 1788.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Have that, Thatcher, you.
table tennis became an Olympic sport in 1988.
A bit of the old whiff-waff.
Whiff waff?
Yeah, that's what it used to be called instead of table tennis.
I thought it was called ping pong. Whiff waff?
Yeah, I'm sure when it was originally invented, it was called whiff waff.
Oh, well, well, look at you, don't you know?
I'm a very sporty person, Matt. You know,
yes,
you can
tell. In the elections for the mayor of Rio de Janeiro in 1988, the population was so unhappy with the politicians that a well-known monkey of the local zoo received over 400,000 votes.
Shut up.
Really? Yes. I found these facts and then I researched a bit more and said, yes, apparently that happened.
Nice. That's great. Well, then again, you know, have a look at the fucking chip we've got in charge at the moment. Oh, I can well believe
this
it.
This is where you're going tonight. I knew the Prosecco was a bad idea.
Yeah, talking of which...
In 1988, the Space Shuttle Discovery lifts off at a launch pad in Kennedy Space Center. That was September 88.
Cool.
Also, something you remember from 1988, Eddie the Eagle Edwards became the first competitor since 1928 to represent Great Britain in ski jumping.
Oh, God bless him.
And he finished last.
Yeah, well, that didn't matter, did it? That was the whole point.
This is it. He did it.
Yeah, he went for it.
But he still held the British record, well, of course, because nobody had done it since 1928.
Oh, I love that man. He's such a... He just comes across as a nice guy.
He does, doesn't he? Have you seen the film?
No, not yet.
No, I'd like to watch it.
We can't talk about it.
We can't talk about it here, but we can still watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't you take us back to the charts, Darren?
Okay, then. Beetlejuice was originally released on the 29th of March 1988 in New York City, New York, and had a general release in the USA and Canada on the 30th of March 1988. Which means that this week we're looking at the UK Top 10 Singles Charts for the week commencing 27th of March 1988. At number 10, climbing three places from 13, it's Eighth Wonder and I'm Not Scared. At number 9, falling one place from number 8, it's Heart with Never and These Dreams. At 8, falling five places from number 3, it's Kylie Minogue and I Should Be So Lucky. And at number 7, it's a new entry for the Pet Shop Boys and Heart. At number 6, climbing 8 places from 14, it's Sunita and Cross My Broken Heart. And at number 5, climbing 13 places from 18, it's Aha and Stay On These Roads. At number 4, climbing 1 place from number 5, it's Tiffany and Could Have Been. And at number 3, climbing 1 place from 4, it's Iron Maiden and Can I Play With Madness. It's a non-mover at number 2 for Bross and Drop The Boy. Which means that number 1 is another non-mover, it's Aswad and Don't Turn Around. And that was the official UK Singles Top 10 chart for the week commencing 27th of March 1988.
Nice, that was my 10th birthday.
Was it really your
10th? Yeah, my 10th birthday, 27th of March.
So Aswad were number 1 on your 10th birthday.
Well, everyone knows that.
Well, duh.
That was great. That was great. There's some great tunes there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good top 10, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
A really good top 10. And Sunita.
I've said it before. I'll keep saying it. You've really missed your calling. I love the way you do the top 10.
I enjoy it. And I have to say, if you like the little tune that we've used underneath the top 10, I've got to say a big thank you to Al Wallers. A friend of ours who's done that little arrangement for us, and I think it's absolutely perfect for what we need.
Perfect, absolutely brilliant. Thank you, Al.
Thanks, Al.
So yeah, first reactions, man.
Yeah. Well, you go first this time. I always seem to cock on about it.
Yeah, my first. So I've only seen this film once when I was probably about 10 or 11. It scared me when I was a kid because even though it's not a scary film, it was just the whole concept of death and people.
Yeah,
haunting and stuff. Yeah, so no, it petrified me. And then I watched it as an adult. Oh, it was so good. It was really a great film. Very, very Tim Burton, of course.
Of course.
And I liked it. I really liked it. You know, it's a lot shorter than I would have thought.
Well, that's your problem for the synopsis.
It is my problem with the synopsis, isn't it? But yeah, that's my initial response. I really enjoyed it.
Good. Yeah. I watched this today. I watched this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't watched it for probably 20 years. And I loved it when it first came out. I remember, I think we talked about this before, probably when we were drunk, though. There was a geeky fan magazine called TV Zone, and being a Doctor Who fan, I used to buy it all the time. And there was a feature on the making of Beetlejuice in early 88, I guess. So I watched the film when it came out on video, and I loved it then, and I watched it over and over and over. I actually had a pirated copy on VHS, along with Raising Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched both of those films back to back and absolutely adored it. I watched it this afternoon and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, that's great.
It was so good. It was every bit as good as I remembered. Yes, there are things that are a bit, but it's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, we'll obviously go deeper into it. I've got a little something for you, though.
Oh, not the last time we did that, you pulled out a bottle of Prosecco.
Exactly. No, this one is, I decided, you know, it'd be quite fun sometimes to watch with my mother because she would have been our age now back in the 80s. So that's the thing. Yeah. So I thought I'd get her take on it. So what I did is I recorded, first of all, what she thought the film was going to be about because, you know, Beetlejuice, I was like, what's Beetlejuice about? Would you like to hear the response?
I would love to hear the response.
Can you tell me now what you thought the film Beetlejuice was about?
I thought the Beetle was a Volkswagen car.
So there was that.
Where does the juice pick come in?
Well, this, I don't know, but...
okay.
Yeah,
that's great. That's fantastic.
So yeah, so she was very surprised. She didn't think it was a film she was going to enjoy. So would you like to hear her one sentence review?
I would love to hear a one sentence review.
A bit of nonsense and a bit of fun.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
So that is my watch with mother.
That is brilliant. And yeah, for anyone that's heard us talk about Matt's mum, that was Matt's mum. I just say it is, though, isn't it?
No, she enjoyed it though. I mean, I didn't expect her to like it, but she really did.
Awesome, Awesome. Well, I think everyone knows our response, but shall we go? Should we go deeper into Beetlejuice?
Let's go deeper into Beetlejuice.
Okay, at this point in the podcast, regular listeners will know that however long the film is in minutes, Matt gets in seconds to describe the synopsis of the film. So, Matt, how long is the film?
It's 1 hour and 32 minutes, so yeah, I get 92 seconds.
92 seconds to tell us the story of the film. Let's have the little jingle. Okay, are you ready? Here we go then.
Adam and Barbara Maitland take a trip down to their local hardware store, and returning they swerve to avoid a dog and end up crashing and drowning. They return to the house unaware they are dead until Adam goes outside to a strange limbo area and returns for Barb to show him there is a handbook for the recently deceased. After a time the house is sold to the Dietzies. Charles, Delia and Lydia. Delia is determined to change the place with her interior designer Otho. The Maitlands try to scare the new inhabitants, but they can't be seen. They lock themselves in the attic, and after a Beetlejuice advert plays on the television, Lydia tries to get into the attic. Adam finds there is a way to get help in the book for the deceased. They draw a door on the wall and go into a waiting room. Caseworker tells them to try harder and not to trust the services of Beetlejuice. They try using sheets, and Lydia takes photos and ends up seeing the ghosts. She tries to help them, but no one believes her. After seeing a small sign on Adam's model village, Barb's end up saying Beetlejuice three times, and they're transported to meet the ghoul himself. They're a bit overwhelmed by him and leave the model to try and scare the family themselves. At a dinner party, everyone is possessed and puppeted to sing the banana boat song rather than being scared, and they see it as a business opportunity. The couple end up back with their caseworker, who tells them off for having photos taken, letting Beetlejuice out, and letting Otho find the handbook. Meanwhile, Lydia has written a suicide letter and goes to find the Maitlands. Instead, she finds Beetlejuice, who tries to fool her into freeing him. The Maitlands come back and convince Lydia that they can all live together. Just then, the Dietzies take the model downstairs for a presentation to turn the town into a theme park. Otho performs a seance, which summons the Maitlands, who start decomposing. Lydia makes a deal with Beetlejuice, who saves the couple, but must now marry Lydia. The Maitlands manage to stop Beetlejuice through teamwork. Yay! And he ends up swallowed by a snake. The Maitlands and the Dietzies, or whatever you say, end up inhabiting the house. Lydia flies around the hallway to jump in the line. Meanwhile, Beetlejuice is in the waiting room, and after being a dick, has his head shrunk as the film finishes.
Okay. I think I should fine you.
For what?
For not saying anything about sexy time.
There was no sexy time.
We could have sexy time every week.
I know.
Right.
I try and find a sexy time, you know, but...
Right then, are you ready?
Yeah.
You did it in 1 minute, 58.9
wow.
seconds. So technically, 1 minute, 59 seconds.
Wowzers. I knew it was going to be over. It was a lot to sum up without missing out any plot points.
And that's without a fine for no sexy time.
And that's without a fine for no sexy time. I know, I do like saying sexy time every week.
But. Sexy time. Well, I guess you have to drink then for 27
well,
seconds.
Well, I'll finish my drink and then I'll finish some Prosecco.
I think you finish the bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah, I'm not finishing the bottle. I'll just be gurning. Right, here we go. Oh, that's one bit gone. Here goes the Prosecco. Good night.
Wow. Down in one. Nice. Nicely done.
For those listening, though, if Darren has shortened the time to actually make it more listenable, I genuinely did all that. And yeah.
Sometimes we dip it in a little edit to take out coughs and things like that, because you don't want to hear all that. But genuinely, when we record, that is how long it takes.
Right.
Right, the film itself then. Should we talk
I can't be bothered now.
Oh, fuck it.
I'm drunk.
Yeah, let's just go and eat pizza and get pissed. More pissed.
Yeah, so I suppose there's a lot of stuff about it I really liked.
Great.
Okay, so from the beginning, the opening shot.
Yes.
That's very Tim Burton, isn't it? I mean,
it is.
It wasn't so swoopy, because I guess that was his second film, wasn't it? If I'm right, I'm right. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
So oh, yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? No, I think it was Pee-wee's Big Adventure or something.
Right. And I know then, he did Frankenweenie as a short, didn't
it? It was a short, but it's his first big film, I guess.
Big movie.
Oh, yeah. I've got some wonderful alternate castings for you later.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Nice.
Yeah, I really like the opening shot. And I watched it about 7 or 8 times today to see where it transitioned
from
the
real
to the
model. Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, I mean, just jumping in on what you're saying there, it reminded me of the opening of The Shining.
Going across the roads.
Yeah, and the mountains and stuff. I mean, I know it's not quite the same. And then I was noticing lots of other little nods to other horror films as we went along.
Okay.
Obviously, the style of the house.
Is that Amityville or something?
No, it's very much like the Bates House in Psycho.
Is it?
Yeah,
which I've never seen.
And the Handbook for the Recently Deceased is very much like the Book of the Dead from Evil Dead.
Is it?
Yeah. It's just little. I thought it was very clever. I'd never noticed them before.
No, well, I wouldn't never. I mean, because I'm not a horror fan, I wouldn't really get that. But yeah,
it was... I can't wait to do our first horror film. But Matt is holding out on me. If you'd like to see us or listen to us review a horror film, please write in and let us know which 80s horror movie you'd like to scare Matt shitless with.
Yeah, great. Well, this film did scare me shitless. That's the thing. So when they were like manipulating their faces and pulling their faces off, and I know now as an adult, it looks really cartoony.
Yeah.
And the whole use of stop motion throughout the thing, it just goes to show you don't need a huge budget. You don't need to fill it with special effects. We got it.
Yeah.
We got it.
And I think it works really, really well. I mean, if you just sort of just accept that it's going to look a little bit hokey, it's fine. Just don't analyse it too much and expect what you would expect of a film now.
Yeah.
I think it's superb.
Yes, yeah, definitely. It was lovely to see a young Alec and a young Gina.
Yeah, but Alec is obviously a fucking nutter if he's handling a spider.
that spider at the beginning.
Even though the spider does change.
Yeah?
It's a lot smaller when he chucks it out the window than the one that climbs over that.
What struck me, though, Daz, was how fast-paced it was. Like, there was no time at all before they were dead.
Exactly.
And we're straight into the action of the film. It really hits you right in the face, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah. Like I say, there's no hanging about within minutes. They're dead. But I think, I know we'll talk about the score later, but Danny Elfman's score is so... It really sums up the fast pace. The dum 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 dum.
Yeah,
that thumping score. It's really great. I love it. It works so well.
And visually, it's. I mean, it is very what we would now call Tim Burton. But I suppose back then it was his origins. I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, yeah. You can see where he's going from a mile off. And as you know, we've had this conversation a lot. I'm not a massive Tim Burton fan. The worlds that he creates in his films are all pretty similar. But this one really works for me, and after this, it was all downhill as far as I can see. But.
Well, yeah, I think recent Burton I've not been that impressed with, but I was watching a documentary or something about Beetlejuice, and they were saying a lot of his films, they do comment on, actually, there's a lot of beauty in what's already there, like the house that's already there, and then... In this one particularly, when they come in and redo everything, it's a real comment on, you know, modern sort of ways coming in and getting rid of the old, but it's not necessarily better.
Yeah.
And a lot of his films have those themes.
Yeah,
But it's, yeah, as a film that regrettably was only 1 hour and 32 minutes.
Should have been closer to 2 hours, I guess.
It should have been. but yeah, it's... It was just a really good film. I had a really good time watching it, and I'm finding it difficult to place where it sits
in terms of.
It's not a horror as such. It's not a comedy
It's definitely a black comedy, isn't it? I mean, some of the dog when it just jumps off the plank and they plunge to their death.
Yeah,
that's so funny, and I don't know why. It's for me, it's a sort of ghost film, black comedy, Tim Burton. I guess that's the only way to sum it up. Really, it's a Tim Burton film.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I understand, I think they lightened it up a lot as well. I think originally, I think their death was meant to be more horrific.
Horrific.
And
I'm glad it wasn't, actually, I have to say, because it would have made a film too dark, and I don't think it needs to be.
Well, it's pretty dark subject matter anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. I think it works as it is. I mean, again, if they'd gone that way, then we wouldn't have had this, or we wouldn't have the comparison. But I like it as it is.
Yeah, me too. There's loads to talk about with the cast as well, isn't there?
Yeah, the characters are so good. There's such a contrast. I mean, you've got Barbara and Adam, who are that sort of almost twee, all-American... there's a little bit of backstory there as well about trying for children as well, isn't there? But not being successful so far. So there's that little emotional twist. and then... you know, they die and they're invaded by your 80s big city
ex-yuppies.
Yeah. New Yorkers who sort of bulldoze their way through the town and have visions of how to drag this little backwater up to what they want.
Yeah, we'll turn it into a theme park eventually. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah. But I do like the fact that, because the bit before they head off to go to the shop for him to get his brushes and model bit, it's all very sort of, I suppose the American version is Martha Stewart. She's in the kitchen baking and he's doing the man.
He's making a model upstairs while she's baking. That's the perfect way to spend
it. If he gives her one roll of wallpaper to paper the whole fucking spare room, how small is their spare room?
That was your major problem with Beetlejuice.
It was just a little thing like, one roll of wallpaper.
Only you would notice that.
But yeah, that's just, I really like them as a couple. They're really nice. And they remain nice all the way through the film. Even when they're trying to be horrible, they can't do it.
No, they're trying to scare them out. And I don't get me wrong, I really like the film. I could do with a bit more time, not just for my synopsis, because I'd like to spend a bit more time in this world. You know, so maybe just an extra 15 minutes somewhere. But then again, if they had an extra 15 minutes, we might have kind of gone, could have done 15 minutes.
Exactly. A little nip and tuck here and there. Maybe. I mean, for me, it works. Like I say, I like the fact that you just plunged straight into the movie.
Yeah. That was what struck me.
Yeah.
That really struck me. I was like, oh, well, they're dead already. Okay, then. And I think the Dietzes, or whatever they call it, I think they moved in within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Within 10 minutes of the film, which is good, though. So,
I think. No hanging about.
Obviously, there's been talk about a sequel.
Yeah, they've still got going on about that.
Yeah, I think it's also in, like, Winona Ryder's agent says that there will never be a sequel without, obviously, Tim Burton and Michael Keaton.
And quite rightly so, too.
I wouldn't mind seeing, if they did do a sequel, though, which is meant to be, what was it, Beetlejuice Goes Hawaii.
Really?
I'd like them to still use that sort of stop-motion stuff as well. Keep it in the same vein as the original.
Yeah, keep it the same style, yeah, definitely.
I can't say a lot more about it apart from I really enjoyed it. I mean, there's a few sequences that I thought were just really well done.
Well, let's talk about some of the sequences that you really enjoyed then.
Well, so we talked about the opening shot.
Yeah.
Genius. That whole end sequence with the wedding, with them coming.
Yeah.
I mean, because everything was practical, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, there's no CG there at all.
So them coming back into their bodies and, you know, the very dark Beetlejuice wanting to marry Lydia.
Yeah. Yeah, some of his comments towards Lydia. I mean, how is she? Well, she's a schoolgirl, isn't she?
So, yeah, she's 15, 16, yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to make those comments in a film now.
But also, we'll talk about Keaton, but it struck me when he was such a pervert trying to lift up Gina Davis' skirt. I was like, oh, come on.
Yeah, but he is that sort of character. One of my favourite sequences, and it's the one that I guess most people who've seen the film will go on about. It's the whole banana boat Deo sequence where they sat around and they get taken over and do the dance. I think it's superb. I think it's really, really good.
Like the worst haunting ever.
Yeah. And I can't now look at a bowl of prawns without thinking of a hand coming out and grabbing your face and pulling you down to the table. I think it's a superb sequence and it's really simple.
Also, from what I read, Tim Burton was never happy with that, thinking it's not that funny. But people went nuts for it, and he kept it. He was like, okay, then.
Yeah.
Even watching with my mother, she had a little chuckle at that.
Good.
She was like,
Yeah, because I think it's superb. I really like that bit.
Another notable thing for me was I loved the waiting room stuff.
Yes.
That was really nice, wasn't it?
It's really clever, really funny. And actually really dark again.
Yes.
You know, the way people have died.
Well, that was a thing. Apparently, they were going to keep them soaking wet through the entire film, but they thought Tim Burton thought that would be too uncomfortable for the actors, just for them to be soaking wet the entire time. Yeah. I don't think it would have added a lot.
Devin doesn't show up by not being there.
No. So. But Darren, what a film, and I'm really glad we both enjoyed it as well.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few bits that don't work for me.
Go on.
The shot where she suddenly figures out that they're dead and she picks up the horse and rides in front of the mirror.
Okay.
I think just the way it's framed for me doesn't quite get the message across.
Do you know how they did that?
Go on.
Well, because all the interior was in a in a soundstage. And what they did is they took the fireplace out of the set to round the back of the set, cut a hole in, so they were looking in at the set. So imagine that in the set, they took the fireplace out of the set, round to the back of the set, cut a hole in, so they're looking through that little hole at the set.
Oh, right, I'm with you. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, that was a really convoluted way of me explaining
it. Spun it around. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it didn't register at first that they are not in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's maybe just
the angle or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. But I mean, it's a little small detail, isn't it? So.
Yeah. I can't think of anything I didn't like. You know, no. I think it was.
They're a lovely couple. They're a bit twee, but they're kooky and all that. But there's nothing nasty about them. God, Catherine O'Hara is fit in this film. She is so sexy.
I think this is where she met her husband.
Who is her husband?
I think he's the production designer.
Bastard. She was supposed to be waiting for me.
I know she was. Yeah,
she promised. She promised.
Do you know, I Gina Davis is just beautiful in this film, I couldn't cheat on my Elizabeth Shue. So.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. I can understand. And the other thing for me, how are they spelling this guy's fucking name? Is it Beetlejuice with a J or Beetlejuice with a G? Come on.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think they all the way through they spelt with a G and then went, oh, people are just calling it Beetle Guys. So for the actual release, they called it Beetlejuice with a J.
I think so. I think it's to do with, because he's named after the constellation, isn't he? Yeah. And I think throughout the film they did that, but then, clearly on the marketing, people would not have got it at all. I wouldn't have got it.
No. But yeah, again, it's another little thing, isn't it?
Michael Keaton plays him so well, but I can't wait to sort of delve in to talk
that
about...
That first advert.
Yes.
I was howling with laughter. I'd completely forgotten about it. Me and Cez, again, watch it this afternoon.
Yeah.
We were both just he's fantastic in this film. So funny. He is so funny. And you don't really think of him really... as a comedy actor. But you know, in this role, he is up there with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Because he's so... everything is full force. There's no holding back. He's not phoning anything in. It balls out.
He brings a bit of that craziness to Bruce Wayne in Batman as well.
Yeah. Yeah, but not nowhere near.
Oh, no. But he's got that wild side to him, which I think is just... But we will talk about him, but more about the film.
So we get the horrible city family arriving and these yuppie... she's a diva, a terrible sculptor.
Yeah, and also has an interior designer in tow.
Yes, a little bitch friend.
Yes.
You always had to have a little bitch friend, whether it was male or female, didn't you? He's horrible.
He's a very unlikable character, isn't he?
Yeah.
He played him well.
The other thing I liked all the little... The little social asides when Jeffrey Jones is reading through the magazine and every single page turn there's just crap falling out trying to sell you stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. Little things like that.
Yeah, because that pisses me off now. If I go and buy a magazine, when we used to be able to go and buy stuff in shops, I would pick up a magazine off the shelf and purposefully shake it to get all of the crap out from inside and just leave that and walk out with a magazine.
I can imagine you doing that.
Yeah. In the scene where he's looking at the birds and things, and he looks across at the building, he comes out with this really weird thing about nice church roof, bit of parking, and something. That was really bizarre, and I'm not sure if I've missed something, if that's like a quote from something else, but that really stuck out for me. It's like, okay, that was weird. And I don't know what that was about.
No, I can't say I can. It didn't particularly click with me.
Just strange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you got about the film itself before we go into the cast?
I like the waiting room bit, like yourself.
Yeah,
all the different way that the people, people have died. He's got one of the guys is obviously like fallen asleep,
smoking a cigarette,
and burnt himself to death. The guy with the shark hanging off his leg.
Yeah, I because obviously the ones that are really prevalent and apparently were action figures.
Right.
was the shrunken head guy.
Nice. Shrunken head guy's funny.
Yeah, shrunken head. It's just the way he's looking, isn't it? It's like... Also, though, why are they there at the end of the film when they should have clearly been seen before? Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's just...
And the football team.
Yeah.
You refer to as coach all the time. Oh, I think they're great. But and the guy who takes them to see the caseworker
hanging around,
that's such it's real good black comedy. I really like that bit.
Yeah,
This afterlife malarkey seems all right, actually.
But I must say, I wasn't majorly looking forward to it because I was a bit... I just remember not having bad memories of it as a kid. I just remember being scared of it because, you know, just seeing skulls and... You know, I was like 10 or so. So
it's really dark, though, some of it. I mean, the like you say about the stuff where they're like pulling out the noses and the eyes.
Oh, that freaked me out. That really freaked me out.
But also the bit at the start when, you know, she stood there holding his chopped off head with, and he's just talking away. And that is actually, to be fair, that stands up really, really well, that bit.
And pulling the face off.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's like, oh, you know, yeah, as a kid, it's a lot to take. But as an adult, though, it looks a bit cartoony.
And I think that's the point, isn't it?
But that's now for me. I know that's Tim Burton's style. I know how that's how this is. You know, his skeletons look a certain way.
How his career's panned out, basically.
I just want to raise another glass and say let's have a cheersy to Beetlejuice. What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you've got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. Oh, I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop. And we're back.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. We had a good break.
Yes, we did.
We had a few drinks.
Yeah, a bit of pizza.
So,
pizza.
Pizza. Also, get yourself a drink. You know, treat yourself.
You deserve it.
We're going to treat you as well. We decided during the break as well. You may have heard our little advert for our t-shirts.
We have some merch.
So what we'd like to do is give you the chance to win some merch. So all you have to do...
They're so lucky, these bastards.
I know. So lucky. So all you have to do is... So throughout September, we'll close it at the end of September, is write a review on Apple or Google or Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll look through all the reviews and we'll put every single name into a generator and then we'll generate the winner.
A generator?
I know, this is it. You can get on the online generators. You put all these names in and it just randomly picks
so
a name.
Technical.
I know we are. Couldn't have done that in the 80s.
I know.
So yeah, we'll put
you're technical. I've got a fucking pen and paper, but there we go.
So we'll put your name in a generator and you can win an 80s Adventure t-shirt. So we will announce the winner at the end of September.
I don't even have an 80s Adventure t-shirt. That's all I'm saying.
I'm wearing one right now.
Yes, you are.
I'm wearing one right now. So yeah, if you've...
I've got my face on his right breast.
That's... Yes, you do. I had to check then. So if you fancy a chance at winning an 80s Adventure t-shirt, then please review us on Apple or Google, Podchaser, wherever you find your podcasts, and we will find them. We will put you all in a generator, and we will announce the winner in a few weeks' time.
Oh, you lucky swine.
I know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the cast then, Darren.
Yes, the cast. And what a cast.
It's a very good cast.
Yeah. Yeah, but really, really good cast.
But what it could have been, Darren, what it could have been.
Yes, you've teased me with this already. and I said to you during the break that I don't look at these things because I like to be surprised myself by them.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to Matt during the break that thinking about it, there are some names that spring to mind as alternative castings for Beetlejuice. So I came up with three, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, to me, the obvious alternative castings would be Robin Williams.
Yep, and he was one of the... He was one, yeah.
Okay. Eddie Murphy?
Not that I can see.
And Richard Pryor?
Not that I can see.
Okay, right.
I'll come back to Beetlejuice. I'll start, yes. I think, with Lydia.
Lydia, yeah.
So I think Winona Ryder was offered it originally. She turned it down.
Okay.
So then they offered Juliet Lewis.
I can see that. Yeah.
I can. She was very big back in the day, wasn't she? Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, Sarah Broderick, yeah.
Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields?
Yeah.
As Lydia?
Yeah, apparently so. I mean, this is just the internet. This is all I'm going to go with.
God, that would have been very different.
Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, I can see that.
And also Jennifer Connelly, who I can see as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them turned it down, and they went back to Winona Ryder, who went, "Yeah, okay, I'll do it."
Well, bumped up the offer,
maybe. Yeah, apparently, Kirstie Alley was the first choice for Barbara. I can see that.
Yeah.
But she was the producers of Cheers wouldn't let her out of her contract. So.
Right, yeah.
Other people considered were Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah. I'm not taking anything away from Sigourney Weaver. She's one of the best actresses of the last generation, mm-hmm. I suppose. But was she...
Goldie Hawn? Can you see Goldie Hawn?
Oh, I love Goldie Hawn.
Yeah, she's got that sort of American... It's not 50s, though, but it's got that 50s feel to it.
Yeah. Maybe not as kooky.
No.
Well, kooky in a different way. Sort of cakey rather than kooky.
Cakey rather than kooky.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I can see that.
Linda Hamilton. Yeah, I think so. I think because the way she was with Sarah Connor, you know,
Sarah Connor.
That was a good one. Do that again.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah, okay. I think, she was considered that big perm. And
nice.
Laura Dern.
I can see that, definitely.
So the only alternative for Adam was Bill Pullman, that I can see.
Yeah, okay.
Right, on to Beetlejuice. You ready?
Oh, this sounds like quite a list then.
Yeah, it's quite a list. So I'm going to have to rapid fire them. Otherwise, it's going to be like a 2-hour podcast.
Oh, God.
So, Bill Pullman, we've already said for Adam. Yeah. Dudley Moore. It sounds like he was considered for an awful lot in the 80s.
Cuddly Dudley. I can't see that myself. No, okay.
Sammy Davis Jr. was Tim Burton's first choice, apparently.
Okay, interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Dustin Hoffman.
I love Dustin Hoffman. Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, actually seeing him in the outtakes for Meet the Fockers. Yeah, definitely.
As you said, Robin Williams. Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe not as manic, but yeah. Well, manic in a different way.
Yeah, manic in a very different way. Not as filthy as...
Okay.
Jim Carrey. Nah. Tim Curry.
Ah, Tim Curry.
Mm.
Yeah, I can see that. Yep.
Jack Nicholson.
That would be a really
interesting
really
Beetlejuice.
Dark, yeah.
But I think maybe, when you say manic, he'd have been like a lot cooler maybe.
Yeah.
Because from what I understand, Keaton came up with his own design for the costume or whatever, how he should look. So I think Beetlejuice might have been a lot different if Nicholson had played him. We've got Bill Murray.
Yeah, no.
Robert De Niro.
Okay, yeah, I can see that.
John Cleese. I don't know if I can.
That's a real
curveball.
Curveball. No, I don't think so.
Okay. And at one point, apparently, Tim Burton considered Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
However, they felt that due to his reputation as an action star, people wouldn't take it seriously. Yeah. And also, he approached him anyway, but he was busy shooting The Running Man.
Great film.
It's all right.
Nice. God, that is a big old list, isn't it?
It's a big list. Yeah. I mean, but some of this you don't know how much
John Cleese.
I know, that would be...
I can't see that at all.
I think my favourite out of the list would have been Nicholson.
Yeah. I guess we've got a slight hint of what that would have been like as the Joker.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, which was only the year later.
Yeah.
With Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm. Nice.
So, well, let's... who do you want to start with? Do you want to start with...
Let's start with the couple, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're great. They're, as I've said earlier, they do exactly what they're supposed to do. They're perfect casting, as far as I can see. All American couple, very wholesome, four square, just likeable, nice husband and wife.
Yeah, they are. They are. I completely agree. The only thing I will say is, apparently, Alec Baldwin has gone on record to say he hates his performance there. He feels he's not very good.
I think he's great.
Yeah, I think so. Alec, if you're listening.
Yeah, which you should be, Alec.
Yeah, of course you are. You're wrong. You were great. Yeah.
We love you, Alec, in this film.
But what else could he have done with that role? You know,
exactly.
It wasn't the sort of role where you shine, if you like, I guess. I suppose you're the eyes of the audience.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. What else could he do with it? Which makes it sound like it's a very sort of two-dimensional character. It's not. He's just done everything he should do with it. And then for me, it's a perfect performance.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Really, really nice.
And she's great. Like I say, she's kooky and she's cute. She's funny.
She's creepy and she's kooky. Yeah. Mysterious.
Yeah, exactly. But again,
the family.
Nice. See what I did there. I don't get it.
The Black Russians are kicking in now. So yeah, I mean, there's not a lot else to say about them, really. They do their jobs. They do it very well.
Yeah, they're watchable. They're nice. They're funny. They're there's a really good chemistry between the two, and they're just a nice couple.
Go on, let's talk about your wife.
Oh God, I love her.
You've got such a crush on Catherine O'Hara.
Such a crush on Catherine O'Hara. I always have done. Well, since this film. But she's a sexy little minx in this fucking film. There's the bit where she like bites a finger and then like taps him on the chest. And
do you want me to leave you alone with the film for 5 minutes?
Every time she gets her own way, she looks so...
You've got this look on your face now. It's a bit scary.
I'm just glad you can't see my pants.
Okay. but there's also that moment where she's when he's saying, oh, you don't need to redesign or whatever else, and she goes completely mental on him.
Yeah, I mean, she is a proper diva, spoiled little cow.
Yeah, obviously we love her from Home Alone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I mean, she's no David Cameron leaving a kid behind, but, God, I'm on a real Tory rant tonight, aren't I?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to make it in.
But no, she's great. She is great.
Yeah, and she's a very sexy character. She's a very sexy woman anyway. and she's funny. She could have very easily played it as just a two-dimensional, shouty, demanding child.
If you like, the wicked stepmother.
The wicked, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly that, the wicked step. And she does do it. But there is a point where... I noticed at the very end, where she goes to grab Lydia just after the wedding bit. And then it's like, it's all okay. So she's not actually that evil. She's not that wicked. But that's like the one redeeming part of it. And then obviously she relents and they live in the house as well with the Maitlands.
Interestingly, though, you never see them living in the house with Maitlands.
No, I guess their contract was up by that point. Yeah, maybe. they filmed it in that order.
And then her husband...
Yes, Mr. Geoffrey Jones.
Geoffrey Jones. So he was in lots of films in the 80s, wasn't
and
he?
Always the same sort of character, but always a really memorable performance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be remiss not to mention his downfall.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that. But yeah, he's great in this film. It's the same sort of character again as the headmaster in Ferris Bueller's.
I always remember from Howard the Duck when he was... a scientist that got possessed by one of these things. And he just went like more crazy and more deformed as the film went on.
I've never seen Howard the Duck, so...
We'll have to do it at some point, but it's not going to be a great week for us.
Yeah, it's going to be very far down the line.
So if you are listening in 2042...
We might just about be coming around to doing Howard the Duck. But yeah, he's great. He's very funny. He has that weird speech about whatever's gone on with the roof and the parking, as we mentioned earlier.
Mm.
But... he's just a guy that is out for an easy life, whereas his I'd say new wife, it's not his original wife, obviously, because it's his
stepmom, yeah. So just throw away a line, though, but it says so much, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And he just wants an easy life, and he'll pretty much do anything to keep her happy. There's a bit where they sat around the table, and Lydia says, I like it, I think we should keep the house as it is. He said, I totally agree, and gets the look from Catherine O'Hara, and it's like, okay, backtrack straight away just to keep the peace with her.
Yeah.
But I love him. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah, he plays his part very well.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of his personal life, actually, everything he's done as an actor, a real character actor, he's done a good, solid performance. Yeah.
Every performance I've seen him do, it's really memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So his daughter then.
Who's that?
Lydia, Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder. Yes.
She's made a bit of a resurgence recently, hasn't she?
Oh, God, how good is Stranger Things?
Stranger Things is amazing.
Yeah, I love it. Not because it's set in the 80s, but partly because it's set in the 80s.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't think... I mean, this is not a Stranger Things review, but what they get right about the 80s, they don't over-egg certain things. It just happens to be set in the 80s. And then we just remember the music. I think it's done so well. And the fact that they've used one of the biggest stars from the 80s as Joyce, is it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
She's also such a great actress, isn't she? She's... Mm-hmm. I mean, in this... She's so different to how she was in Heathers and how she is in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And she's really funny.
I think she's blonde in real life as well, apparently, and she dyed her hair for a lot of roles. And her natural hair colour is the hair colour it was in Edward Scissorhands.
Okay.
Well, that's not making it either. Right. I tell you, it was a mistake to have Prosecco. So, yeah, apparently she's blonde. You've got to edit it.
But no, she's great. And, and even though she's playing this goth, manic, depressant, almost, meeting the Maitlands really brings her out. And she finally gets what I think is probably, maybe looking too deep into it, but she finally gets a bit of love in her life. I don't think she's as deprived of love as maybe other characters we see in other films. She's definitely not an abused child in that.
No, but they are
sense.
Shallow parents.
But exactly, they are shallow.
Or portrayed as shallow parents.
Self-obsessed, money-obsessed.
Yeah.
Idiots who do sort of neglect her.
And but they also have... I was going to segue seamlessly into having an interior designer in tow.
Who actually, they both sort of... This is that little bit when they're sat outside. And he says something like, I know as much about the afterlife as I do about interior design.
Yes.
And they also get that sort of, oh, we're fucked then. Look. But so, he's a twat. He's an absolute knobhead.
I think he played him perfectly. He was, I suppose, not the nastiest character. But, well, yeah, I suppose the nastiest character in the film, really.
Always
up for betterment.
Adelia is shallow, but he's the most shallow. And the fact that Beetlejuice destroys him, basically, by making him wear this pastel blue safari suit speaks volumes about how obsessed he is with how he looks.
I'd forgotten about that. That's the worst thing he could have done to him.
Exactly, make him wear a pale blue suit.
So, bless him, little factoid.
Yeah.
He passed away in 2010.
Oh.
And the last song at his funeral was the Banana Boat song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, isn't that? Well, not lovely, but...
No, but you know what I mean.
But yes, it was nice that they sort of... Oh. You know, I mean, I'm guessing that was his choice, to kind of have that playing, that was a really big part of his life, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a major Hollywood movie, of course, it's going to be a big part of your life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, you're right, he plays the part really well. But, I mean, you don't hate him, because it's not that sort of movie, but he is a dick.
Yeah, and Beetlejuice is a dick.
Oh, he's horrible.
Go on then, right, let's talk about the man that is Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton,
Beetlejuice. He is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. He's fucking hilarious.
Yep.
He's gross. He's such a horrible character. But what I didn't realise as well, that iconic suit, the black and white striped suit, he wears it for like 2 minutes.
That's absolutely
crazy.
I mean, I dressed up as Beetlejuice.
Exactly.
We went out for Halloween. I was dressed as Beetlejuice.
And how many people do you see at Halloween dressed up in that iconic suit?
Which he doesn't wear. I mean, the stripes are prevalent through a few different things. But yeah, he's in the red tux for the wedding. Yeah. He's got a costume change he's got the spikes and things like that when he's outside the little strip club.
And he wears the same as Adam as well. Come on, we're brothers.
Oh, yeah, that was a good little impression there.
Ah, I think I've found another niche.
Another niche. Darren available for parties to play Beetlejuice and Arnie.
Hang on, I think I could do Sly Stallone as well. Adrian!
Will you go?
The fizz is kicking in. Yeah.
We've definitely had a few. But from what I understand, he ad-libbed 90% of his dialogue.
Doesn't surprise me at all. Like I said there earlier, that first, when we see him on the TV, giving the advert, it's just so funny.
Well, he had a meeting with Tim Burton. I've done a lot of research on this, and stuff that's just come back flying over the years is he had a meeting with Tim Burton, and he was like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And then Tim Burton said, he exists... like he's always been there. And I think they gave him full autonomy to create his character.
Nice.
And so he came up with this kind of moldy look about him. And it's just
hideous, isn't it? It's not like Walking Dead skin hanging off, stuff like that. But it's not an easy image to keep watching. It's gross.
I would go on record and say that I really would love to watch the sequel. I'd love to see Michael Keaton back as Beetlejuice, because you can get away with that.
He's
still a fantastic actor.
Yeah. Yeah, I love him. I think he's great. There's so many layers to the comedy as well. I mean, like I say, he's horribly gross. He's horrendously rude.
Yeah.
When he's, I think maybe the bit where he's hugging Adam and then reaches behind and...
And he tries to feel her up. Yeah,
I'm sure he probably tried to make a grab for a boob.
Yeah, but his arm's at the wrong angle. Yeah.
He's just a fucking sex pest.
I suppose he's kind of the worst bits. He's the drunk guy he's still standing.
He's Uncle Knobhead, isn't he?
He's Uncle Knobhead. Yes. So he's staggering around a party doing what he likes. And yeah. But there's something still so endearing, even though he's not a villain of the piece, but he's someone you shouldn't let out of the box.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. It's like us when we've had a bottle of Prosecco.
Yes. Well, it's a celebration. It's episode 10.
Woohoo!
But yeah, I mean, there's a few other lovely little performances, isn't there? I mean, their caseworker, I guess.
Caseworker, yeah.
So I mean,
she's a very famous actress, or she was, wasn't she?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Sylvia Sidney,
yeah. She was a classic actress from the 30s.
She was born in 1910, man.
Yeah, she's from the golden age of Hollywood.
Yeah, I think after this, she did a couple of other Tim Burton plays.
Oh, yeah.
And after she did Mars Attacks.
Yes.
Yeah, she did another Tim Burton project. So.
Well, I just love the way when she takes a drag of a fag, the smoke comes out of her neck.
I was not expecting that.
Right.
I was not expecting that. I was like, oh, there we go. Again, practical effects.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I can't praise this film enough for having just really good effects.
Yeah. And also, Robert Goulet.
You gotta
love Robert Goulet. I just wish he'd sung in the film. You heard of Robert Goulet?
No, I sounded like I did, but I don't.
Right. He played Maxie Dean, the guy that Jeffrey Jones.
Oh,
was
yes.
Trying to
Yeah. The one that sat in his New York office when he played.
He's a big sort of Hollywood. He's got an amazing singing voice. He turns up in. It's a personality. And he turns up in The Simpsons as a singer. He's got a fantastic singing voice, a real sort of silky swing voice.
I'll have a listen.
Yeah, it's really good.
And you have a listen at home too.
Yes, a bit of Robert Goulet.
Did you notice, what's her name? So the character is called Grace. She's called Susan Kellerman. So she was a guest at the party. She was doing the Banana Boat song as
well. Yeah, which one was she? Was she the... Was she the wife of the
yes
yes yeah. Of the wife of the agent?
Yes, that's
yes,
it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I know her from somewhere,
right?
And she was the receptionist in The Secret of My Success when Brantley goes up and says, you know, oh, is my uncle there, Uncle Howard?
Okay.
I was like, because it was doing my head, and I was looking at her going, I know you from somewhere,
right? And she's called Kellerman, which will be in a film that I'll have to have
a look. I really can't wait to do that.
You love that film, don't you?
I do love that film. And topically, they've just announced a sequel.
A sequel to Dirty Dancing?
A sequel to Dirty Dancing. Jennifer Grey is producing and in it as well. So, yeah, well, we'll see. We never know.
That'll be shit.
All right, Darren knows. So, anything else we want to say about the cast?
No, I don't think so.
So... We're going to take a quick break, then we're coming up to the part where I'm dreading but looking forward to at the same time, which is
pub quiz. Yeah.
At the moment, the scores stand at 5-4. To you.
So potentially we could draw on this.
We could draw,
which means at the end of the first round of 10 quizzes, we're going to be at loggerheads, or we're going to be a draw.
We're going to sudden death.
So you have to go to sudden death with up to 10 more questions. To see who wins the crown for the first 10-episode championship.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned. We're going to have a quick break, get another drink, and we'll see you on the other side. Daz, have you heard of Patreon?
No.
Well, back along, you could become a patron of a show, etc. You can do exactly the same thing now, but in a modern twist.
What, like for our show?
Yeah, for our show, yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
So what you can do is support us by signing up to patreon.com/80sadventure. There's four different tiers at the moment. But
what, so people pay and that enables us to do...
Yeah, well, more stuff, but also great. There's rewards for them as well, ranging, you know, from a very small reward right up to bigger rewards and a lot more fun content from us.
So what could could people get in return?
You can get early access. You can get your name on the website as a supporter. Nice. You can get a vote on one of the episodes we do each month.
What, people actually get to vote on what film?
Yeah, and also maybe a Q&A, something like that. Have a few drinks with us.
Fantastic.
So yeah. All you have to do is head to patreon.com/80s adventure.
I'm on my way now. Bye. And we're back. Whoop, whoop, whoop. It's showtime.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Rah, rah, rah. I don't know where that came from.
Rah, rah, rah.
Rah, rah, rah. Candyman. No, let's not go
let's
there.
Let's not go there. Yeah.
Decade breach. Anyway, yes, we're back.
So we're going to talk about the music, and then we go into pub quiz.
Yeah, woohoo. Well, the music, it's the great Danny Elfman.
And it's very recognisably Danny Elfman, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's that thumping great opening score. It's really brassy and stringy, and it's got this driving beat to it, and it's it really matches with the visuals. It's fantastic.
You almost expect Bart Simpson to be skateboarding down the road, don't you?
It's that sort of over-the-top, balls-out brassy, ridiculous
balls out brassy
theme, if you like, that is perfectly Elfman in The Simpsons.
And I guess you do get Tim Burton, Danny Elfman, they just go really well together.
Yes, but there's so many styles in this film as well. Let's just say there's the balls out Simpsons-esque theme that you get at the start of the film, but then when you get down to the twee couple, it's really nice,
really
and homely,
pretty.
Really pretty. And it's you know, when they're driving around the city before they crash, or the town before they crash, it's very nice, very homely. It's done a great
and
job.
And I bet you there's got to be a Beetlejuice theme in there. Like, so whenever he appears, you know, I didn't notice it. Did you?
I think it's more of that again, the opening thing. Beetlejuice is the character is summed up by that over the top.
That manicness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no soaring themes for each individual character. There's just a nice score, which sums up sort of... It's more, rather than characters, it's more sort of situations.
And then we get some other songs in it as well, then, because that's a big theme, isn't it? Banana yeah. Boat song is
the whole
huge.
Calypso
yeah.
thing. You know, even when he's like, when he's working on his little model. It's not a little model, is it? It's a massive model.
It's a great model.
Yeah, but he's got the radio playing in the attic, and there's a Calypso thing going on there, and then obviously the day over.
It's the first thing we hear in the film. Over the titles,
yes. Yeah, yeah.
Before it kind of goes into the Danny Elfman
yeah.
score, isn't it?
Very, yeah, over the production company logo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great score. It's a very simple score, if you like, in terms of that there isn't actually that much to talk about in it, but it's perfect for the film.
And it finishes with...
Okay, I believe you, jump in the line.
Yeah, yeah, jump in the line, isn't it? Yeah. Is that what it's called, jump in the line?
I believe so. Great song.
What a lovely, but again, it's a nice upbeat way to finish the film. Yeah, perfect.
And all of the Calypso songs are sung by the same singer, Harry Belafonte.
Belafonte.
So, yes. Who's responsible for one of my favourite Christmas songs as well. But we're not at Christmas yet.
We're not at Christmas. Well.
Mary's Boy Child. He sang it. So.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. Before the disco version when I was like 4 years old.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. It's a great score. I love this score. I love this film. And that sums it up this time. I'm sort of gutted there's not more for me to talk about.
I know. I really want to waffle a bit more because it puts off pub quiz, but I guess we're going to get down to it, don't we? We've got to do it. We've got a face. So, yeah. Right. Should we do it?
Eyes down for a full house.
Right, here we are then.
Here we are. And as long-time listeners will know, as we stand at the moment in episode 10, we are at 5-4. So as we talked about earlier, if Matt wins this week, it means we're at 5-all. And at the end of each 10 episodes of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure, we're going to have a sum up and a little crown for whoever's got the most points in those 10 episodes.
I'm hoping it's you, only because my questions are sparse.
Likewise this week. If it's a draw, then we have to go down to sudden death. And we're gonna ask each other a quote from each of the 10 films that we've
yeah,
done.
Yeah, until one can get it right. Yeah. So for your listening pleasure, we're hoping that, you know, we might just finish after this. If not, then we have got another half an hour coming. So.
Yes. Strap yourselves in.
Get yourself a drink.
Yeah. So then, should we start?
Let's start.
Do you want to go first?
Question number one for you, Darren. Oh,
I'm
so
not
nervous.
Looking at my sheets, and you're not allowed to look at your screen when I ask questions.
Okay.
Okay. Just to clear that up. Just previous right. episode issues.
All right. How many times did Beetlejuice claim he saw The Exorcist?
I can remember that it got funnier every time. 17.
167.
Oh, so
only
close.
150 out. One to me.
Let me write those down. I'll drink then, shall I?
Uh-huh.
Okay, then. Question number one. What is the full name of the friend who tries to sell their house?
It's never mentioned, is it? But I believe it's probably on the for sale sign, isn't it? And I didn't clock it, so I do not know. There we go. That's 1 point to you.
Jane Butterfield.
Oh, you're a Butterfield.
I don't know what that means, but I'm laughing.
Question number two.
Yes.
What car did the Maitlands drive? Make and model.
Well, it's a yellow... I'm going to go for a Volvo.
Yep.
What would that be then if it's a Volvo? In the UK, it would be a V70, so I'll go with a Volvo V70.
It was a Series 245. So, drink.
Bastard. Right, okay, question two then.
Yeah.
What does Beetlejuice call Lydia when he's talking about the deal that they made?
I have absolutely no clue.
Is that your final answer?
Yep.
Edgar Allan Poe's daughter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, which I thought was a nice little... So I think, oh, that's two each. God, we're not going down the right route, are we?
No.
Oh, dear.
Right, so...
yeah.
What number ticket did Beetlejuice get in the queue?
Oh,
the final
fuck
end of the
off. Fuck off. Can I have, like, 1 billion either way?
No. Because, do you know what? I thought this might have been one of your questions, so I learnt it.
You've written down the whole fucking thing, haven't you?
No. I've not just that, I've learnt it. I've learnt it, because I thought that was one of your questions.
I don't know. It's 99 trillion and something.
It's 999-83-83-75-0000. That's may I refer you back to The Running Man when you said, what is the satellite uplink code?
Yeah, but I think that's fair.
Oh, I genuinely thought that was going to be one of your questions. So I was like, learn that.
Yeah, we're in trouble here, aren't we?
And that's definitely not my PIN number now.
Okay. Well, question three for me, as usual, is
complete the quote.
And this is a quote from Beetlejuice.
Oh, no.
And he says, I'll eat anything you want me to eat.
That's nice for him, isn't it?
What's his next line?
I don't know, Darren.
I thought you'd clock this as well because it's funny. So he says, I'll eat anything you want me to eat. I'll swallow anything you want me to swallow.
No, I didn't get it. So that's... Oh,
my. That's it then.
Well,
do we
carry on with Beetlejuice questions?
Yes. Yeah, until somebody wins Beetlejuice.
Okay. All right. So my next question for you then is, what is on the sash that the lady's wearing behind the counter in the death waiting room?
Miss Argentina.
Yes.
Hey!
You looked like you were thinking about it, but it was
that's a variation of one of my questions.
Is it?
Yeah, and I'll read you that question. What Miss Contest winner do we meet in the afterlife?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, then. Oh, come on. I just need to win this one. What door are Adam and Barbara told to go through?
What door are they?
In the afterlife, when they have to meet their caseworker, what door are they told to go through?
Oh, is it a number or something?
Yeah.
Four.
Oh, so close. The sixth door.
Oh, damn it.
Thank fuck for that.
Well, there we go. So Woo! That means you've won this week's quiz, and therefore...
This 10 episodes
of quiz.
I win 6-4. Thank God for that.
Oh, it could have gone on for so much longer. We've actually spared you.
Yeah. But I'm sure it will happen at some point.
We did not cheat, though. We've not rigged this.
Yeah.
We were going for gold.
You know, at some point, either episode 20 or episode 30 or episode 40, it's going to be a dead heat.
It will be a dead heat.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you very much.
We have some Prosecco here, so let's drink and say cheersy.
Cheersy and happy 10th episode.
Happy 10th episode, buddy.
Yeah.
We generally are having a lovely little party here, so
yeah.
If you want to join us at home, then grab yourself a beer.
Yeah, have a virtual party with us.
So that was pub quiz. I suppose
it is time for last orders.
Last orders at the bar.
Last orders at the bar, please. Last orders at the bar.
Well, this has been fun.
This has been real fun. And I've really enjoyed, again, I can't say it quite often, I've really enjoyed revisiting an old friend.
An old friend indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe it has been 10 episodes. I can't believe it's been 10 episodes, so it's flown by.
Yeah, it really has. I'm enjoying it. I'm not in any rush to go anywhere yet. I don't know about you.
No, this is it. Well, listen, next week, buddy boy, yeah. That means we come back to a new quiz, a fresh slate.
Yes. Yeah, wipe that slate clean. Maybe a little variation on things we've done before.
Yeah, we always like to mix things up.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, I didn't know what I was going to say there. I'll just shut up. I had something, it went.
Nice. But, well, that happens more often now you're in your 40s, trust me.
But this week has been a good film, and it's been a nice celebration, actually.
Yeah, glad we did it, and I'm glad I watched it again. And actually, it's another one of those films I will happily go back and watch again.
Yeah, very I think I will. I think I never, if we weren't doing this, I probably would never have watched it again. Because it scared me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I probably would never have seen it again, and that would have been a crying shame.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it didn't scare me as a kid. And I watched it a lot in that sort of, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 year time frame, I suppose. And then didn't bother with it again. But I'm glad we went back and watched it because I think it really holds up. Yes, there are a few hokey effects.
Doesn't matter.
No. It's the style. It's the start, and I love it. But what really shines through is the acting and the story. It's as simple as that. And actually, the direction is really, really good. As we were saying with bits of The Running Man, some of the lighting effects and things, they're really theatrical. Mm-hmm. Where they go through the door in the attic into the afterlife.
Oh, it's completely theatrical,
really theatrical. And that can only be a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
So, based on that, would you go and watch the musical?
Yes.
I mean, I think it's just opened, I mean, just pre-COVID, and now it's having to...
Yeah.
I think it'll transfer over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd definitely go watch it.
I think it'd be really, really nice. And I'd love to see how they do some of the effects they can do on stage and do them very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I agreed. And I think it... Well, as long as they get the casting right, I think, and try not to make them... too different from the film. I know.
For me, it's the same thing as Back to the Future. They've got to get the casting right, and you know, and
stay
it's got to capture the essence of the
stay
film.
Stay loyal to the characters. Every turn is going to put their own twist on something, but don't go too far from what we got because it works so well. I think.
Yeah, that's it. So I suppose we need to give it a score.
Yeah, I'm really positive about this film. I really enjoyed it.
I think I know what you're going to give it.
Oh, see, we should have done like a little prediction about it. Yeah, what do you think you're going to give it?
I think you're going to give it a 7.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I enjoyed it that much. I really, really had a good time watching this film. Simple as that.
I wanted to give it a 7.
Right.
But I think it deserves more.
Oh, are you going to go for a half?
No, because I don't want to go for half. So if I've got to bump it up, it's going to go up to an 8. So that'll be a 16. Yeah, that's 8 and 8.
Nice. Yeah. Again, we agree on a film. Fantastic.
Well, yes, it's going to happen a lot.
Yeah. Especially with a film this good.
It's great. I mean, the casting, the direction, everything about it, really enjoyed. And that's not just after the Prosecco.
I've got one more little story to tell.
Go on then.
Not relevant, really, in a strict way to this film.
Well, then don't tell it. No, go on.
Just a little memory. Mm-hmm. My wife runs a pub, basically, where we live. And probably about 10 years ago, maybe a bit less, I was in there on a Wednesday night with a few friends, and we were still at the end of the bar where we normally stand having a few beers, and there was a guy still at the opposite end of the bar, and it was a karaoke night, so there was a guy still at the other end of the bar with two massive, massive guys who looked like bouncers with him, and the three of us were stood there going, I really recognise that guy, who the hell is it? And he was probably stood there for maybe one or two pints, so an hour at the most. And we were talking about, maybe it's such and such or such and such. And then he turned around with his guys and walked out the door. And the minute he walked out the door, it was like, holy shit, that's Tim Burton. Tim Burton had a pint or two in my wife's pub whilst he was locally filming Alice in Wonderland.
I remember this because I wasn't there. But
no, I think you were in Spain at the time.
No. I was at home, but you text me saying, Tim Burton's in the bank. Come to the bank right now.
Oh.
And I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. But yeah, that's just a little. Cool. Yeah.
I wish I'd sang that night at the karaoke and he maybe would have given me the job in Sweeney Todd.
Yes, that's exactly what would have happened. Well, keep enjoying your Prosecco there, Dad.
Okay.
No, but that is nice, though, isn't it?
Just a little story there.
Well, listen, I want to, again, sorry we keep doing this, raise a glass and say cheersy.
Cheersy.
It's been a great first 10 episodes. We want to thank you for all your support. You've been absolutely fantastic. So the
Please
people that have been,
get in touch.
Yeah. Which, go on, Darren, what is the email address?
See, I've almost learnt it now, but when the Prosecco kicks in, anyway, it's podcast@80sadventure.com.
Yeah, and we really like hearing from you. It's really, really nice. And also on the social media platforms, so we've got our Facebook /80sadventure and also Twitty. We got Twitty.
Yeah, so yeah, please like us on Facebook, send us messages, all that sort of thing.
And follow us on Twitter.
Twitter.
Which is at 80s Adventure.
Please feel free to share us on Twitter and send us a twat.
And also, remember, we've got that competition running. If you do a review.
Can I enter it?
Would it look good if you're entering your own podcast competition?
Do they do them in my size?
Yes.
You call me fat?
No, but they do them in lots of sizes.
Oh.
Well, listen, remember to enter the competition. Give us a review and we'll check it out.
And you could win.
You could win
a T-shirt.
You can win
a T-shirt. You have to wear it everywhere you go.
Yeah, and we'd love a selfie with you wearing it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of the conditions. Yeah. Listen, folks, it's been absolutely fantastic. Anything more you want to say on Beetlejuice or anything like that?
No, I love this film. I'm going to watch it again very soon.
Well, that's a glowing endorsement from us both. We before we go.
I was going to say, you're not going to go yet.
We want to give you the tagline for next week's film.
Yeah.
You ready for this, Darren?
Well, yes. Yet again, I don't know what next week's
film. You know what the film is. You don't know what the tagline is.
No, I'm trying to act like I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I try to act like it's all mysterious.
Okay, go for it.
Yet again, I don't know what next week's film is. I do. but give us the tagline, Matt.
The tagline is, the new police recruits, call them slobs, call them jerks, call them gross, just don't call them when you're in trouble.
The Bill. Is it The Bill?
Yes, we're reviewing all of the 80s episodes of The Bill next week. But there we go. That's your film for next week. And
yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to every week, if I'm honest, because we get to do this and drink and talk crap about films.
Yeah. And actually, if you're a member of Patreon, you might get to hear us talk about a TV show at some point.
Yeah, we've got a special TV episode coming out for Patreon. But listen, thank you, folks. This has been absolutely brilliant. I'm going to drink
always,
some more Prosecco with Darren.
Me too.
So, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
And we'll see you next time.
Cheersy! Yeah, the golden age of Hollywood, wouldn't we?
But it gives you a bit of more?
Shut up!
The golden age of what?
You're demanding.
You're demanding.